Music is another thing that has replaced the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the second thing that you see nowadays in great crusades and over television. Music, 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 music. And people like to imitate the rock musicians and come in vests and all and with some type of guitar and swing their hips. And where do they get these pictures from? From those rock musicians. From the godless servants of the devil. They're imitating them. Are they imitating Peter or Paul in that? No. Can you imagine Paul coming with a black vest and something like that here and trying to strum and impress people? No. Why not be dressed properly like Christians should be instead of following those godless examples you see on the covers of CDs? No. I've seen that with all these metal buttons and all over that. You can see that on Christian television. They say we're trying to reach the young people like this. What young people? What are you going to do? You're going to be such a bad example to those young people. Do you think Jesus dressed like that to reach the young people in his day? Christianity has surrendered to the devil. The devil has become their example. And they have all these flashing lights, red, blue, yellow, green, all types of things on the screen. I can't imagine Jesus doing all that to attract people, anybody. This is all from the rock musicians. And they think they're reaching young people that way. And what type of young people turn out as a result of this conversion? Half-converted, godless people who say, I believe in Jesus. With Jesus, another Jesus. Do they live holy lives? Do they overcome sin? Do they ever hear about victory over sin in these meetings? No, they don't. I'd rather have 10 people who don't have all this. Jesus turned the world upside down with 11 young people under the age of 35. They didn't have all these gimmicks. Peter didn't have all these strobe lights and all on the day of Pentecost. He didn't have some fellow with a vest and a guitar up there. And he didn't have money either. Do you know God who made Abraham rich? God who made David rich? God who made Solomon rich? God who made Job rich? These are all Solomon initially, and the others were all men of God. He could have made Peter rich. He could have made Paul rich. He could have made Jesus rich. He could have made James rich, but he didn't. Because in the new covenant, money would be a snare. People will be drawn by money. God didn't want that. Haven't you seen in India how many Christians are drawn, how many people are drawn to Christianity because of money? Look at the Bible schools and orphanages being run in this country. It's a racket to get money from America. You've got to send reports out there regularly and say what all is happening, what all is happening here, revival here, revival here, thousands being converted. That's why we decided when we started building our churches 31 years ago, we'll never send a report to anybody, we'll never send a photograph anywhere, we're not going to send any videos of our meetings anywhere. And sometimes I go abroad and people say, Brother Zach, do you have any need in your church? I say, no, we don't have any need. We are quite okay. I was introduced once in the United States. Here at last is one Indian pastor who never asks for money. We're not interested in that because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our work may be small. Let it be small, but let it be pure. Tell me, would you rather have one healthy child or 10 sick children? You tell me, you mothers. I know, I'd rather have one healthy child than 10 sick children or 100 sick children. I'd rather have one small church with people who are disciples of Jesus Christ than thousands of people who claim to be Christians, who don't know God. To say we have so many workers. How do you get so many workers? Because you pay them from America with all that money? We don't want that. We'd rather have a few workers who serve God, paying for their own expenses. And that's how we've done it. Our work may not be very large compared to the work of others, but show me another church, a group of churches in India where they never take an offering anytime, 30 years, when none of the workers are paid anytime, when no reports are sent anywhere. If there is some church like that, please tell me. I'd like to see it. We stand out as different because we want to proclaim there's something missing in today's Christianity in the area of money. In the area of music too, I want to say. A lot of what is called praise and worship today is not worship at all. I have a whole message on that which is on our website called Thanksgiving, Praise and Worship. These are three different things. Thanksgiving is giving thanks to what he's done, God has done for us. Praise is praising him for who he is. And a lot of what goes on in our songs is thanksgiving and praise. That's right. It's not worship. Worship is not something I can do in the presence of all of you. Most of my worship of God is when I'm alone, in silence. You can worship with words, then go a little higher and worship with song. And the highest form of worship is silence. Speech, song, silence. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Worship is the surrender of our whole being before God. Putting our head down, not showing our feet to God like these people who say they are slain in the spirit. I mean, in India, you know, if I show you my feet, what do you think of that? If I fall down before you and bow down to you, that's respect. But if I show you my feet, hey, and I show you both my feet, and I can't do that here, but it's the biggest insult to you. And anybody in India knows that. And look at the devil making fools of these people who stand before God and show him their feet. It's not how the Old Testament or New Testament. John fell at his feet with his head down and worshipped. He didn't show his feet to God. Do you know what the Bible speaks about being slain in the spirit? Romans 8:13. By the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body in the time of temptation. That is the slaying in the spirit I want to preach. Where you put temptation to death and your lust to death through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not this type of falling down and showing our feet to God and insulting Almighty God like that. With all these psychological gimmicks. It doesn't solve people's problems. You know, when out in the world, when people have a problem, they go to a bar to drink. They spend 2 hours there drinking, spending their money and having a wonderful time with their friends, and they are in what they call the seventh heaven. And they say they forget all their problems. They're having a wonderful time. When they go back home, the problems are still there. They're still fighting with their wives. And they still love money, and they still get bitter, and they still get jealous. What do they long for? Oh, I love to go back to the bar to drink with my friends. Many Sunday morning meetings are a worshiping bar, where they, a praising bar, where they come and praise and sing and sway and clap, and all their friends are also like that, like a bunch of drunken people. And they said, boy, this is wonderful. All my problems I can forget about. And after 2 hours they go home, they still shout at their wives, the problems are still there. They still love money, they are bitter. And what do they long for? Oh, I want to go back next Sunday to my bar to praise God. It's a deception. It's a total deception. If you meet with God for 2 hours, it should change your life so radically that your problem should be solved. You should behave in a completely different way to your wife. Every area of your life should be changed. How is it it's not changed? Something is wrong. It's music has replaced the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the devil had music? You read about it in Ezekiel 28. He had tremendous musical ability. Ezekiel 28 is a chapter that describes the devil. And it says here that there are many things described about Satan here in Ezekiel 28, starting from verse 11, 12, last part. You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom. You were in Eden. There was an Eden before Adam's Eden. In Genesis 1, verse 1, that Eden, when God created it. And he was covered with precious stones. And it says here, on the day you were created, there was verse 13. It speaks about the flutes and tambourines in some translations. If you have an NASB, you see the margin of it. The gold, the workmanship of your tambourines and flutes, it says in the margin. Which is satire, settings and sockets. Speaking about certain musical instruments, tambourines and flutes. And do you know who were the first people who invented musical instruments? The children of Cain. Genesis chapter 4, it says here in Genesis 4 that his descendants, Lamech, took to himself two wives, one Adah and Zillah, and Adah, verse 20, Genesis 4:20, gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in livestock, tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all the musicians in the world, those who play the lyre and the pipe. The sons of Cain were the first rock musicians, and we have many descendants of them today. They went away from God, and they became musicians. Music has a tremendous power. The devil had it, the sons of Cain had it, and the devil's followers have it today. We can have music in the church. But how is it that in the New Testament you don't find much emphasis on it? In the Psalms you read a lot about it. But in the New Testament, see, the Holy Spirit is the main thing. If you have musical instruments, good. If you have money, good. But it's not essential. We don't need to have keyboards. Do you know the early church, there were no keyboards 100 years ago? Many churches in the world, wonderful spirit-filled churches, had no pianos, no instruments, no guitar, nothing. How did they survive? Power of the Holy Spirit. That has been replaced with music. It's almost as though you can't have a church today without music. You can't have a church today without money. It is a deception.